Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Chet, Shmuel Aleph Chapter 8. To recap Chapter 7, Perek Zion. In our last Perek, the Aaron was brought to Kiryat Yarim, and Avinadav took the Aaron into his home. This spanned 20 years, and Bnei Israel followed Hashem all these years. Shmuel gathers all of Bnei Israel for a meeting where he exhorts them to worship Hashem exclusively, levado, and they pour water as a sign of pouring out their hearts to Hashem. Repent and remove all idol worship. We saw that the language used to describe Shmuel's actions was very reminiscent of Hannah, his mother's language, when she was supplicating Hashem. We see her profound influence on Shmuel and his spirituality. We see Elkanah's influence as well. Shmuel's unique quality as a leader was that he went to the people and judged them in various cities. He went to Beit El, Mitzpah, Gilgal, and then would return home and begin the cycle again. He did not stay in one place. Ralbag explains that Shmuel revitalized Bnei Israel's connection to Hashem by going out to the people and bringing God to them. And then he re-energized his own bond to Hashem by going back home to his Mizbeach, his altar, his touchstone with Hashem. When the Plishtim hear that Bnei Israel gathered, they're worried that Bnei Israel are planning an attack. So the Plishtim gather for war. Bnei Israel are terrified because they were ruthlessly defeated just a few decades back when the Aaron was taken as well. They cry out to Shmuel to pray for them. And Shmuel sacrifices a teleh chalav, a lamb, and cries out to Hashem. The Plishtim are defeated, and the Navi states that the Plishtim were defeated all the days of Shmuel. Not only were they defeated, but Shmuel was able to return several cities that were conquered by the Plishtim, and he brought them back to Israel and made peace with the Amorite nation. But Bnei Israel asks for a king in our perek. Why do they need a king if Shmuel judges them and can defeat the Plishtim miraculously? He is both political and spiritual leader. Why do they want anyone else? Our perek is a very important perek when discussing Shmuel as a leader and the concept of leadership, and especially kingship, as it relates to Am Yisrael. Is kingship ideal? Lechatchila? De jure? Or is kingship bidieved? Ad hoc, a stopgap? Was it only instituted because Am Yisrael asked for a king? Or was it always commanded? In Dvarim, in Deuteronomy, Perek 17, chapter Yud Zayin, Psukim Yud Dalet Tekaf, 14 to 20, the Torah states, Ki tavo el haaretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach v'yirishta, v'yashavta ba v'amarta, asima alai melech kechol hagoyim, Asher Svivotai. If after you have entered the land that Hashem has assigned to you, and you took possession of it and settled it, you decide, I will set a king over me, as do all the other nations about me. Som tasim alecha melech, asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo, mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech, lo tuchal latet alecha ish nochri, asher lo achicha hu. You shall be free to set a king over yourself, one chosen by Hashem. And be sure to set a king only of your own people. He cannot be a foreigner. He cannot be someone who's not your brother. Rak lo yarbe lo susim, v'lo yashiv et ha'am mitzrayma, leman harbot sus, v'Hashem amar lachem lo tosifun lashuv baderech hazeh od. Moreover, he cannot have many horses to send the people back to Egypt, because you can't go that way again. Lo yarbe lo nashim velo yasur levavo, v'kesef v'zahav lo yarbe lo ma'od. He can't have many wives, lest his heart go astray, nor can he amass gold and silver to excess. V'haya kishifto al kisei mamlachto, v'katav lo mishnei Torah hazot, al sefer milifnei ha-kohanim ha-levi'im. And when he is seated on his throne, he has to have a copy of the Torah and he has to have it on a scroll that he has before the Kohanim and the Levim, or the priests who are Levim. V'hayayimo v'karaba kol yimei chayav, l'man yilmad liyira et Hashem Elokav, lishmor et kol divrei Torah hazot, ve'et ha'chukim ha'ele lasotam. And he has to keep the Torah with him all the time and read it all his life, so he will learn to respect and fear Hashem and observe all the words of Hashem's teaching. Levilti rum levavo me'echav, ulevilti sur min ha'mitzvah yamin u'smol, ulemaan yarich yamim al mamlachto hu uvanav bekerev Yisrael. All this so he should not act haughtily towards his fellows or deviate from the instructions of the Torah, and he can't veer right or left, so that he and his descendants may reign long in the midst of Am Yisrael. So clearly from all these psukim we see, appointing a king is commanded all the way back in the Torah in Devarim, and there are very specific laws. He has to be Jewish. He can't have a lot of horses. He has to write a Sefer Torah. He shouldn't amass too much gold or silver. He has to marry a limited amount of wives. And he has to have this Torah and read it all the time. And he shouldn't be haughty. And he always has to follow the words of the religious leaders. So let's review some of the diverse opinions on this. The Torah clearly states that we appoint a king. The Midrash Sifrei, forwards an opinion that it is a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment, to appoint a king. The Rambam Maimonides and the Ramban Nachmanides are of this view. It is a positive commandment to appoint a king. You must appoint a king. And there are three laws that pertain to entering Israel. Anointing a king, Lahamlich Melech, to eradicate Amalek, Limchot et Amalek, and to build a temple, Livnot et Beit HaBchira. Other commentaries, such as Ibn Ezra and Sephorno, suggest that it is a reshut, it's an optional law, it's an optional commandment. And Sephorno even suggests that it is possibly in the same category of Eshet Yifat Toar, marrying a woman who was captured in battle, which is not seen as an ideal marriage situation, even though it's permitted. So this is the halachic background. We saw the pishat, the simple psukim, the verses in Devarim, and what the halachic literature says about it. But now let's get back to Sefer Shmuel. How is anointing a king discussed in Sefer Shmuel? Vayehi kasher zaken Shmuel vayasemet banav shoftim liYisrael. When Shmuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges. Vayehi shem beno abachor Yoel v'shem mishneu Avia shoftim biVer Sheva. His sons were judges in Be'er Sheva. That's all the way down south in Israel. V'lo halchu banav bidrachav, v'yatu acharei betza, v'yikchu shochad, v'yatu mishpat. But his sons did not follow in his ways. They were bent on gain and money. They accepted bribes, and they subverted justice. As a result, v'yitkapzu kol ziknei Yisrael, v'yavoh el Shmuel haramata. The elders of Bnei Israel come to Shmuel in his city of Ramah, and they say to him, Hine ata zakanta, uvanecha lo halchu bidrachecha, ata sima lanu melech leshafteinu kechol hagoyim. You have grown old, and your sons have not followed in your ways. Therefore, appoint a king for us to govern us like all the other nations. Right? We have a very similar phrase like we saw in Devarim. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel kasher amru, tna lanu melech leshofteinu, vayitpalel Shmuel el Hashem. But Shmuel is very upset, and it is bad in his eyes, when they said, give us a melech to judge us, and Shmuel davens to Hashem. When Shmuel was old, he appointed his sons as judges, and the Pesukim explicitly say that his sons did not go in his ways, and they were swayed by prophets, they accepted bribes, and they subverted justice. Rashi and Radak say that this is the simple explanation of the words, and is a possible explanation. But they also bring in the views of the Midrash. Their father Shmuel was so upright and traveled to meet the needs of the people that in comparison, making everyone come all the way down south to Beersheba, which involved enriching all their counterparts down south who gained from their remote location, was already a difference between them and their father. When one went down south for judgment, you had to avail yourself of their locals, their scribes, their merchants. And Ralbag and Malbim suggest that Shmuel appointed them in this far-flung location because at his advanced age, he could not travel far anymore to mete out justice. So he appointed his sons all the way down south in Beersheba, possibly to help him get to the people who lived so far down south. Also, when the sons are all the way down south, maybe they are not under the observation, under the eye of their father, and maybe they're not behaving in the ultimate way they should. Bnei Israel were very disappointed that Shmuel appointed his sons and that they were not as honest as their father, and they wanted a different system of leadership. They wanted a king to judge them like all the other nations, Kechol HaGoyim. This is a huge blow to Shmuel. It is bad in his eyes. Shmuel remembers the tragedy of Eli and his sons. God rejected the actions of his son, of Eli's sons, Hophni and Pinchas. And now the elders of Bnei Israel are rejecting his sons, Yoel and Aviah, from taking over after him. He appointed them as judges. He wants them to continue. And Bnei Israel are rejecting them. Shmuel is very upset, and he prays to Hashem, and Hashem answers him. Shma b'kol ha'am, l'kol asher yomru elecha, ki lo otcha ma'asu, ki oti ma'asu mimloch aleihem. Hashem answers, listen to the people in everything they say to you, because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me as their king. Kechol ha'ma'asim asher asu miyom ha'aloti otam mimitzrayim, ve'ad ha'yom hazeh, ויעזבוני ויעבדו אלוהים אחרים, אלוהים אחרים, כן הם עושים גם לך. Like everything else they have done since I brought them out of Egypt to this very day, they're forsaking me and worshiping other gods. They're doing the same thing to you. They rejected me, and now they're rejecting you. However, שמע בקולם, אך כי העד תעיד בהם, ויגדת להם משפט המלך אשר ימלוך עליהם. But Hashem says, listen to their demands, but warn them about the hardships of being under the control of a king. Even though this choice is seen as a rejection of both Shmuel and Hashem, Hashem says to listen to Bnei Israel and anoint a king. In Shmuel, the whole appointment of a king is shrouded in ambiguity. Did Hashem really want this? We know Shmuel definitely didn't want this. So why does Hashem say, listen to Bnei Israel's voice? But also, why is this seen as so negative? Weren't Bnei Israel commanded in Dvarim to anoint a king? So it's a commandment. And we saw that Rambam and Ramban and many others see this as a positive commandment. Rashi, Radak, and Ramban, like the Sifrei, say that Bnei Israel asked for a king like all the other nation. And that very statement and sentiment is the problem. But we saw already that it states in Dvarim that Bnei Israel will ask for a king like all the other nations around them. So what's wrong with it if it says that in Sefer Dvarim? Ramban Nachmanides explains that the Torah is not commanding to want a king like all the other nations. It is just prophesying that in the future, when Bnei Israel asks for a king, they will ask incorrectly to be like all the other nations, and therefore the rules will be very clear about Israelite imperial power. Commenting in our chapter, Radak explains that when they ask in our chapter in Sefer Shmuel for a king, they ask b'tar'omet kishematzu ila. They were looking for an excuse to move away from Hashem. And they were not asking for the sake of fulfilling a heavenly commandment. Ralbag also expounds on this and says, exile was caused by the kings, and we can trace that back to Bnei Israel's request to be ruled by a king to be like all the other nations around them, and not to follow God's word, but to follow the king's laws. Malmim suggests another idea, that it was wrong to ask for a king at this very moment, because Bnei Israel were privileged to have such a unique leader like Shmuel, who can win wars supernaturally by prayer and sacrifice, and was an amazing spiritual leader. Rarely do you have this combination. By asking for a mere mortal king, they were rejecting the great Shmuel. But Bnei Israel wanted a king, and Hashem agreed, but with strong warnings. Bnei Israel should be forewarned. The king will be overbearing in every area, taxation, recruiting, and enslaving all able-bodied individuals for his army and household. The monarchy will confiscate harvests, land, and livestock. The word that is repeated over and over, the leitmotif here, is yikach. Yikach. He will take. Bnei Israel want a king because they think he will give them power and stability. But in the end, the king will be a taker, not a giver. Despite these dire warnings, Bnei Israel still want a king like all the other nations to judge them and fight their battles. V'heinu gam anachnu kechol agoyim, u'shvatanu malkeinu v'yatza lefaneinu v'nilcham et milchamoteinu. We want a king like all the other nations, and we want him to rule over us and fight our battles. Vayishma Shmuel et kol divrei ha'am vayidabrem bozne Hashem. Despite all of his warnings, Bnei Israel still won a king, and Shmuel tells it to Hashem. Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, Shma b'kolam, v'imlachta lahem melech. So Hashem says to Shmuel, listen to their voice. V'imlachta lahem melech, and appoint for them a king. And Shmuel tells Bnei Israel, go to your homes and wait. The phrase Shma b'kolam, listen to their voice, is repeated several times here. It is called a mila mancha, a leitwort, a leitmotif, a theme that repeats to strengthen an idea. The idea here is that Hashem is listening to the people's voice, even though it is against his better judgment. Let them reap what they sow. So who will be this first king? To sum up, appointing a king is commanded back in the Torah in Dvarim. So why is the Navi so ambivalent about it here? Bnei Israel were disappointed that Shmuel appointed his sons and that they were not honest like their father, and they wanted a different system of leadership. They wanted a king to judge them like all the other nations, kechol agoyim. Shmuel is very upset. He prays to Hashem and Hashem answers. Even though this choice is seen as a rejection of both Shmuel and Hashem, Hashem listens to Bnei Israel and anoints a king. In Shmuel, the whole appointing of a king is shrouded in ambiguity. Radak explains that they asked for a king bitar omet. Kishem matzuila, they were looking for an excuse to move away from Hashem and not for the sake of fulfilling a heavenly commandment. Malbim suggests another idea, that it was wrong to ask for a king at this very moment because Bnei Israel were privileged to have such a unique leader like Shmuel, who can win war supernaturally by prayer and sacrifice and was an amazing spiritual leader. By asking for a mere mortal king, they were rejecting the great Shmuel. So who will be this first king? Will Shmuel have a good relationship with him? Will Shmuel have a good relationship with Bnei Israel, who rejected him and his sons? Let's see in the next Perek Tet, in chapter 9, what happens. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.